We love talking to Cliff Mess because he helps us make sense of the issue of climate change, the policy, and the politics around climate change. Helps us make sense of it all. But his real specialty, of course, is actual weather. In fact, he's written the best-selling book about the weather in the Pacific Northwest ever published, which is called, of course, The Weather of the Pacific Northwest.
Did you see that posting I sent you over the weekend of what he had?
Yes.
And was mentioning? I was like, oh, John, we need to get Cliff here pronto.
And he was happy to oblige. So, Cliff Mass, welcome to the John Carlson Show this morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to talk to you.
All right. You've got what you call the deepest low pressure center maybe in the history of the Northwest. Tell our listeners, what does that actually mean, a low pressure center, and why is it happening now?
Well, there's an extremely deep system. It's very low pressure that's developing right now off our coast. Now, it may be the lowest pressure we've ever had offshore here, or it'll tie it, but it's going to be really, really close. Anyway, this storm is so powerful. It is the equivalent of a Category 3 or maybe even 4 hurricane. The only reason we don't call it a hurricane is because it formed not over warm water, the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, or whatever, but over the Pacific Ocean. Its energy source is different, but in terms of its strength, the wind speed, it's equivalent to a major hurricane.
So could we call this a cold water hurricane?
Well, you could, but we don't.
Okay.
The fancy name is an extratropical cyclone, okay, or a mid-latitude cyclone. That's the accurate name. And on top of it, it's developing very, very rapidly. And we call it a bomb because of that reason. If it amplifies, if the pressure deepens by a certain amount, and the unit is hectopascals, 24 hectopascals in 24 hours, then we call it a bomb or explosively developing cyclone. And this one certainly is.
So that's why all of the meteorologists and weather forecasters are calling this a bomb cyclone.
That's right. They're calling it a bomb cyclone because it developed at a certain rate.
Okay.
And so the term first was explosive cyclogenesis, but to shorten it, they call it a bomb.
Okay. So what's about to happen here, Cliff?
Well, the system is rapidly developing offshore, and it has a strong front with it as well. So the first thing is that there'll be strong winds offshore, and it's not going to affect anybody here. But along the coast, winds will develop this afternoon and early evening. And we're going to talk about serious winds here, like 45 to 70 mile per hour winds. That's probably what they're going to see on the coast. And if you're in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, the western side, the winds are going to accelerate down the strait, and there could be 70, 80 mile per hour winds by Tattoo Island, places like that.
Whoa.
So that's the first step. But then there's what's going to happen around here. Because they have low pressure offshore and we have cold air and high pressure inland, there's going to be a tremendous difference in pressure. We call it a pressure gradient across the Cascades. And air is going to accelerate across the Cascades and descend on the western slopes of the Cascades. We're going to have what's called a downslope windstorm that's going to develop later this afternoon and this evening, that is going to bring extremely strong winds down to every place from Enumclaw to North Bend. And some of that's going to get down to where SeaTac is. So some of it's going to get down to the Sound. So these will be strong easterly winds. And some places, especially closer to them, to the foothills, the winds could be 60, 70 miles per hour. Now, this is going to cause power outages. There's no doubt in my mind that there'll be a lot of power outages on the east side tonight. So that's where the big threat is, where the most powerful winds will occur.
And the temperatures, are they going to remain in the 30s?
Well, no, the temperatures will, you know, be up in the 40s. Okay. So the temperatures are not going to be, the temperatures won't be extraordinary.
All right.
At all. So, it's cool, but it's not, nothing serious. So it's not the temperatures. It's the wind.
It's the wind.
Wind is the key.
This is all about wind. Okay.
This is all about wind. I mean, there'll be some precipitation, but interestingly enough, we're going to be in the rain shadow of the Cascades. Because the winds are coming from the wrong direction, from the east.
Yes.
Okay. So the winds will descend. So it'll be very dry in the east side, which is quite interesting. Yeah, not wet, dry, because the winds will be descending from that direction. So, but the wind is the thing to think about, and that's what people have to worry about.
How long will the winds be with us, Cliff?
Well, just overnight and tomorrow morning. So it's not going to last forever. You know, pulse up tonight and in the morning hours. And then it'll start weakening. So it'll be mainly after 6 o'clock. So around here.
Okay. So stormy night this evening, overnight into the wee hours tomorrow, and then things start to slowly get back to normal.
Then they'll slowly back off. And interestingly enough, in a few days, there's another storm that's coming. One that'll be closer in. This one's going to stay offshore at the low center. This one's going to come inshore. So we actually might get stronger winds, like in Seattle or in the lower elevation areas later this week. But let's get through this one first.
Now, we have what you have suggested could be the deepest low pressure center in Northwest history. Is there any particular reason that this phenomenon is hitting this year, the deepest?
No.
Okay.
And one thing we've got to be clear, this is not due to global warming. The strength of these systems have nothing to do with global warming. In fact, I did a study with others at the UW for City Light. We had a contract to check that out. And the climate models do not indicate a strengthening of low centers off our coast. So this is something that's natural variability. It has nothing to do with any kind of climate change.
Okay. Cliff, while I have you here, I want to ask you about a controversy. Are you a reader of Scientific American magazine?
Not much anymore.
Okay. Well, no, that's an interesting way you put it, because Scientific American is the longest continually published magazine in America. It's been around for 179 years. Over 200 Nobel laureates have published articles over time in Scientific American. And in recent years, under editor Laura Helmuth, and even before Laura Helmuth, it began drawing criticism for becoming less and less rigorously scientific and more socially and politically relevant.
Yeah, well, that's true. The magazine was basically ruined. It was politicized and became super woke, and it became useless to people interested in science. So, you know, it is tragic what happened. Fortunately, this editor, after putting out some posts that were, let's say, with ill-chosen words, she had to resign. So, I don't know whether it'll get better. One thing I should mention, that this is not the only well-known magazine that this has happened to. To some degree, this has happened to Science magazine, which is also very, very well-known. So, you know, this politicization of science is quite unfortunate, and it's happened in a few places like these.
And as you've pointed out, it's happening on university campuses as well, even in the science departments. This ideology, woke ideology, has replaced, again, scientific rigor. Here's what she said for our listeners who missed this. On election night, the editor-in-chief of Scientific American magazine, Laura Helmuth, wrote, when the early returns were showing an advantage for Donald Trump, quote, "Solidarity to everybody whose meanest, dumbest, most bigoted high school classmates are celebrating early results, because F them to the moon and back."
Yeah, yeah.
This is the editor of Scientific American. Then she wrote, "I apologize to younger voters that my Generation X is so full of effing fascists, close quote. And then a third one. Every 4 years, I remember why I left Indiana, where I grew up, and remember why I respect people who stayed and try to make it less racist and sexist. The moral arc of the universe isn't going to bend itself. Wow, that's what I would call not a scientific temperament.
Well, all I can tell you is that a lot of the core science disciplines, especially the physical sciences and engineering, have kind of held out. The social sciences have really, you know, gone bad.
Yes.
But so I'm not giving up yet. And I think some of the hard sciences, some of the physical sciences have held their standards. You know, there may be some comments and there may be some editorials here and there, but the core sciences have held. So, you know, hopefully things will improve during the next few years. I really do.
And before we let you go, Cliff Mass, real quickly for our listeners, I've always commend not only your book, Weather of the Pacific Northwest, but also your blog. The most read blog by UW faculty member, Cliff Mass, at blogspot.org.
Or .com. Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, at .com. Tell our listeners, what are some really good, respected, and readable scientific magazines and journals they may want to consult?
Well, that's a real problem. Which ones haven't been touched by this plague? Most of the major media, like the Seattle Times, for instance, a lot of the stories are not only inaccurate, but they're biased. So it's really difficult to get completely unbiased scientific information from the major media today. That is really unfortunate. So that's why some of the blogs, I'm not the only blog, but there are some other blogs that people are trying to keep things, straight to the science. But, we're in a difficult time. We've gone in the wrong direction. Nice. And hopefully we can we can recenter ourselves so we're not putting propaganda out mixed with science. That's a real problem.
There's another scientist who, like you, stays tightly hewn to science and refuses to be pushed and pulled in a political direction. Her name is Judith Curry.
Yeah, Judith Curry is good. She's gotten into tremendous trouble. In fact, she had to leave her institution in Georgia Tech because of some of those issues. But in any case, there's some other good places. For instance, on Substack, there's Roger Pelkey Jr.
That was another one I was going to mention. Roger Pelkey.
Yeah, that's an excellent one on climate. If you're interested in climate issues and policy and get the straight story, I mean, that's the place I go there. So that would be an excellent one to look at.
Excellent. All right. Superb. Hey, thanks so much for jumping on with us and telling us what's coming our way here, Cliff. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right.
Good to talk to you, Chap.
You got it. It is 17 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning in the Commute with Carlson.
You just seem real calm with the storm coming that he just explained off the coast. Now he said hurricane 2 or 3 in size it is?
Well, I think intensity.
Intensity?
Intensity.
Wow.
Yeah.
And another one later in the week, too.
Yes. And here I offer to coin a whole new term, cold water hurricane.
Yeah. Cold cane.
No, and he said, we could call it that, but we don't.
But he calls it a...
He tried.
What is he calling this? A bomb what?
Well, the bomb cyclone part refers to how quickly the pressure drops, and I think it's 24 millibars in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So when you drop down in barometric pressure too quickly, that's how it, bombogenesis or something like that, yeah. I think was what some of the weather forecasters were saying.
But what it gets down to is, grab your generator. If you don't have a generator, make sure you've got plenty of
flashlight
batteries. Yeah. One of those... KVI radio, crank radios
we've given away a lot of those.
We've given away so many of those over the years.
USB chargeable lights now are available. We got a lot of those at the house here. Maybe go get some food. Don't have to empty the shelves, but maybe load up a little bit.
Oh, and by the way, this is another reason why it's good to have natural gas instead of electric.
Mm-hmm. When the heat goes out and it's cold.
Yes.